That's right, you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up in 15 minutes, a special hour and 15 minutes version of Flashpoints. And then at 11:30, hear Words and Pictures, where today host SW Concer speaks with Oregon writer Chuck Palahniuk about his new graphic novel, Fight Club 2. Air Cascadia is next.
KBOO would like to say thank you to our community partners that are feeding our volunteers today. Breakfast is from Gravy at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue, open at 7:30 a.m. every day and serving breakfast till 3 p.m. Lunch is served on weekdays after 11 a.m. Lunch is from Riyadh's Lebanese Restaurant at 1318 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. Experience a variety of Middle Eastern dishes like shawarma, kebabs, hummus, and more. Dinner is from Bridges Cafe and Catering at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Committed to using local and organic ingredients. Breakfast served every day, all day, and lunch on weekends.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, May 14th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. During membership drive, of course, we thank you, all of you, new members, returning members, renewing members, members who are taking their membership and upgrading it. And we also have to thank, because it's easy to let the credit slip past in the short amount of time that we actually have to work with here. So I do want to thank Roch Bergeron for a wonderful job engineering Air Cascadia this morning. And of course, as always, Kathleen Stevenson, KBOO's AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks to both of you. And of course, we want to get right into it. We don't have any time to waste here. Kayaks are preparing to meet Shell Oil's drilling rig in Seattle. Huge protests are happening in Seattle right now. They're going to be probably continuing. So if you're planning on going up there, you do have a little bit of time, not too much. It's always time to stop Shell Oil from destroying what's left of our precious earth. Just because it's in the Arctic doesn't mean it's not attached to systems upon which all of us rely. So we want to remember that. We have today, here's what's been going on. This word green gets tossed around a lot. And there are individuals and groups who identify under an umbrella of different names. Neo-greens, neo-conservationists. Beware, beware. It's all a bunch of greenscaping. Any company, any corporation that wants to get its hooks into our dwindling natural resources, that wants to get into wild and remote places and despoil them in the name of extracting more resources. All of this is greenscape. They can call it green, green earth. That could be a mining company. Green fuel. Oh, that's oil, right? Yeah, isn't it? Well, no, actually, it isn't. Just putting the word green in front of any type of destruction doesn't make it all right. We have joining us today Jonathan Latham. He's the executive director of the Bioscience Resource Center. We'll be giving everybody a link so that you can go to that website and find out more. Welcome, Jonathan, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Chris.
Well, this goes on unabated. Even the likes of Shell Oil have the nerve to talk about. Now this is beginning to masquerade under the name of safety. The latest greenwash seems to be, we're going to make oil trains safe. Well, train just stacked up recently. They stack up all the time. There have been disasters with the oil drilling platform. Can you talk a little bit about how words are used to hoodwink the public?
Well, people, there are several things that are going on here. As companies become more and more destructive in their activities and people become more and more concerned about it, they want to masquerade as something good. And so, you know, if you can call your products fairly traded or green something or other or ecologically friendly or sustainable, then, you know, people are halfway there to buying the stuff in many cases. And so all these companies are using non-profits as front groups in many cases to push either to sell products, you know, like Starbucks, and I think Starbucks is with Nature Conservancy, or they're also pushing their agendas. So in this case, you know, the article that we published a couple of days ago is about using basically greenwashing kind of business as usual and calling it a version of conservation.
Right, then justify it by saying, well, this has always gone on. People have always lived on Earth, and pretty much wherever there's a human footprint, we leave in our path scorched Earth. And so that makes it okay to scorch more Earth. We get it all the time here because of the timber industry saying, well, there's no such thing as old growth forests, there's no such thing as pristine wilderness, and that justifies more logging. The logic there is extraordinarily twisted. Going forward, what steps would you advise listeners in listening carefully, and what could be done once words get loose in the social environment?
I mean, there are some, you know, there are some organizations that we all know that regularly are greenwashing things of businesses for other, you know, greenwashing products for other businesses. You know, people like Conservation International or World Wildlife Fund or the Nature Conservancy. Some of these organizations are doing it on a pretty much routine basis. You know, I think Conservation International was caught on video not so long ago offering to greenwash weapons for, I think it was Northrop Grumman. And you know, there are just astounding organizations out there that, you know, it's become kind of their business model to do that. And that basically almost any large green organization is doing that. You know, there are some honorable exceptions. Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth or whatever don't get involved in this kind of stuff, but there's very few big ones that you will have heard of that are not actually involved in this at some level. And some of them are, you know, ankle, knee, neck deep in it.
It seems endemic everywhere we look. And it's exactly why this kind of radio, actually, and the kind of work that you do at the Bioscience Resource Project. What was it? We're going to give the listeners links to that. Just to let people know, a little heads up, the name of the article and where they can find it.
The article is called Anthropocene Boosters and the Attack on Wilderness Conservation. And I'm the executive director of the Bioscience Resource Project, but we are the publishers of Independent Science News. And we've published a whole bunch of things. You've interviewed me, I think, before about greenwashing issues. And greenwashing, you know, kind of is quite closely related to the science in that, you know, people trusting science to get the information that, you know, to get trustworthy information. And so often they're using science to do their greenwashing.
Always, it seems. Yeah, because people don't understand science, but they figure that if science says it's got to be true. We've been very fortunate to have Jonathan Latham. He's the executive director of the Bioscience Resource Project. Thanks again for that. We go now to our second guest, James Henry, is with us. We're going to talk a bit about the sharing economy and how it is not yet displacing, but it's on its way to making a significant dent in the massive globalization economy that has permeated and penetrated governments here and across the world. James is, of course, the managing director of the Sag Harbor Group, and has been active in many, many different economic, financial fields over the years. Thanks so much for being with us today. Good morning. We'll be talking about the sharing economy for a moment, just to bring anyone up to speed. First, I think the most familiar manifestation of this was, of course, Airbnb. And when there are now Uber, there's many, many different companies that have been springing up across the nation in different areas. These are very often, not so much in the case of Airbnb, because of course its whole purpose is to be everywhere, but many of these companies, these the new parts of the sharing economy, have developed niche markets across the country. In other words, they respond to regional demands. This is beginning to have an effect on the overall economy. And welcoming now, of course, James Henry with the Sag Harbor Group. Thanks so much for being with us. In fact, welcome back, James. You've been on the show before, I believe.
Yes, I have. Thanks very much. Last time we were talking about tax havens.
Yes, yes, indeed. That was huge. The Swiss imbroglio that I don't know about anybody else, but captivated me for quite a while, still following it. But today we want to talk just a bit about the sharing economy, because we're in our membership drive. The sharing economy is something that has emerged in recent years. And it is indeed, we could tell it's having an effect on the overall economy because governments, corporatized governments, are coming down so hard on some of these small enterprises. Can you talk about this new entrepreneurialism a bit and how it affects the old one?
Yes, I mean, I think what's happening is that partly under duress, you know, ordinary people are getting together and figuring out that they have to be self-reliant and rely on each other as well. They also find that it's become easier, I think, technically, to find other people with complementary needs for services or for products. And so you don't really have to go, I mean, you can arrange for community level kind of exchanges, which are, you know, kind of outside of traditional markets. And, you know, one of the more interesting latest examples of this is in solar energy, where people are in communities getting together and sharing energy across their homes and businesses without having to go through the big electrical utility. So this is a really very interesting, I think, progressive development, because there's a, you know, a realization that we, you know, really do have a lot to offer to each other.
It's, yeah, the people are, with solar energy, creating these micro grids. We're fresh out of time, and now it's time to go to the membership drive, but you've definitely set that up for us perfectly. We cannot thank you enough. I would like to have you back on the show. There's much, much more to talk about. I'd like to deconstruct some of these small enterprises, particularly local ones. Once again, James Henry, he is the managing director of the Sag Harbor Group. Have a look online. There's all a lot of work there that is worth having a look at. Now we go to our own mini grid, as it were, and we hope that it's gridlocked with phones ringing off the hook right now. We've got Will out there and Ani, I believe.
That's right, Chris. Thank you very much. And this is a great episode of Air Cascadia, obviously. And we're here to try and raise, no, not try. We will raise money thanks to you folks out there in Radio Land. When you pick up the phone and dial 877-500-5266, you'll be making it happen. Chris Andre works incredibly hard on her show, 5 days a week. It's an amazing show. It's one of my favorites. I like to refer to it as dynamite with a laser beam. It's amazing how much information, how many great guests you can get in just 15 minutes.
Well, it's the guests. It's the guests that make it. And, of course, James Henry has a lot more to say. We're going to have him back again in the very near future. But right now, we are part of the sharing economy.
That's right.
And when you call 877-500-5266, let me say it again, 877 877- 500-5266. Become a part of the sharing economy. Participate in the front lines, the leading edge of a new way of taking capitalism down part by part by redirecting financial markets away from big corporations and into enterprises like KABU, like all of the small industries that you see emerging all around you. Be part of it. 877-500-5266. Participate in the sharing economy and make all of this happen. We're making it happen not just for our financial enterprise, but we are doing this for ourselves, for our own voices, for our communities.
That's absolutely right. And the word community is so important. There's a community radio station, there's a community of listeners, and there's a community of supporters, there's a community of volunteers, and there's a community that is Portland. Portland's a great city. Many people have moved here. You can probably tell from my accent, I moved here. I was not born here. And then you've got native Portlanders like the wonderful Arnie Haynes, and all these people contribute and make KABU happen. And it's your turn now to pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. It's incredibly important, and it'll be a great way to start your day. Air Cascadia is one of the many great shows KBOO offers you. There's also wonderful music shows later on. There's terrific news shows that I learn so much from. I'm an audiophile. I love listening to things. I'm visually impaired. So I'm devoted to listening to things, and KABU is a great resource. So pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266, because I know you agree with me. That's why you're listening. So please pick up the phone, dial 877-500-5266. I want to thank everybody who's already called up and pledged their support, the renewing members, the new members, the people who've come in off the street. And now we're going to go to Flashpoints, and I'm looking